titling this sermon, this, Riches and Rags. And yes, it's the 27th. Yes, that's me. And in Luke 7:11, there's a story there about Jesus that raises this widow's son from the dead. Here's the deal. It says, soon afterward, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. And a funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate, and there was a young man who had died, and he was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. Don't you, you know, isn't that a good character trait of our Father? It says, it's like, oh, he died. You know, I guess he's going to hell or heaven, whichever. No, he had compassion. He said, don't cry. Then he walked over to the coffin and he touched it, and the bearer stopped. And he said this, young man, I tell you, get up. You know, I love when Jesus prayed, because, Father, if it's your will, you might think about touching them. No, he spoke with authority, if you notice. He said, young man, I tell you, get up. For Jesus, it wasn't if, it was okay now. And I tell you what, not that we can order God around, but we need to pray with more authority. We need to understand the things that God has entrusted us and the things that he said, all this stuff I'm asking you to do, I'm going to empower you to do it. And we need to begin to believe that. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Wow. So his heart broke, saw this poor widow. You have to understand the culture too. This woman had no support. And the culture of that time, and still is largely that way in that part of the world, is that son was supposed to take care of his mom. And now this poor widow woman had no way to provide for herself. Her future looked pretty bleak. Had no more family to take care of her. And as Jesus had compassion when he looked and he saw that. And what Jesus proves here is that he deeply cares for our condition. He deeply cares for his people, his creation. It's like what Matt was sharing a little earlier, you know? It's not like Jesus didn't see things coming in our life. It doesn't mean he doesn't care. He saw what happened. This woman went through the heartbreak of seeing her son die. And he happened to be there to see the funeral and said, uh-uh. Get up. And the child started to talk. And one thing I like, it never said that this woman was a believer or a follower, what she thought about Jesus. Jesus didn't care. Jesus was moved with compassion. He wasn't selective. He just cared for her needs. You know, and God doesn't delight in seeing any of us struggle. God doesn't delight in seeing unsaved people struggle. That's really not his nature. And he proved it here with the compassion that he showed this young, this woman, this widow. And if you notice by now, crowds were following Jesus. Jesus had a reputation. I mean, here's this guy that raises dead people. He's making blind people see and lame people walk. Lepers don't have spots anymore. Maybe he's the king that we've been waiting for that's going to deliver us from the Roman oppression. They all had this Jesus thing about what he was going to do for them all the time. And these large crowds, they'd heard of all these miracles. But Jesus wasn't doing his miracles because he knew it would give him favor with people. You know what I mean? Oh, they admired him. Sure they did. And I can guarantee you, if Sam here starts doing a healing ministry and every person Sam touches, they start getting healed, I guarantee you there's going to be a crowd around Sam. People are going to say, who's this Sam guy? What's going on? I got to see this. I've got a hangnail. Sam, can you handle this? You know? And they're going to be around. And he would get favor from people like that. But Jesus didn't do it to get the favor and the blessing of people. He did it out of compassion. He didn't do it to be famous. He didn't do it to be renowned so he could go on tour. He did it because he had compassion for the needs of his people. And that should be the same motivation that we have in seeking spiritual gifts, for instance. And even Tinashe read something out of the Word about the gifts of the Father. And really that passage is referring to spiritual gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those gifts aren't meant to exalt us. Those gifts are to be used for the blessing of God, to touch a needy generation of people. People that need to see the compassion, the healing of Jesus to bless others. And may it never be for our own pride, but may it always be out of our unselfish acts of obedience and compassion, because that's what people need to see. Amen? That's what people need to see. This is one of my favorite all-time passages coming up, Matthew. It's about the sheep and the goats. And if you were here a year ago, maybe, I don't even remember, I did a sermon that had had a Keith Green song, The Sheep and the Goats, in it. One of my favorite all-time prophetic, like, man, you know, it's like zing kind of songs. And goes like this verse, and the song was written after this passage. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right side and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and here's why. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison. You did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. By the way, next week's Power Verse, those of you that haven't been around in the last couple weeks, every week we have a verse that we're asking you to memorize. Something that, you know what I mean? Power Verse, something that does the job. And the one this week is going to be Matthew 25:40, which is, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Not that that's a big verse. But I think it's something we need to remind ourselves constantly, why God calls us, what our job is, and that when we do something for them, we're doing it unto him. God equates it the same. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, brothers and sisters of mine, you've done unto me. You know, this sheep and the goats parable, which is what it is, shows another, really a perspective here. If you notice that the righteous, the godly people, okay, to use that word righteous, sometimes that throws people off, you know, righteous. But, okay, they were on the right, but they were surprised, if you notice, that they had done anything good. But Lord, why? Because it was a habit of their life. It was the way they operated. It wasn't a program they did at church. It wasn't something they did on Saturday morning because the pastor made them. It was the way they exhibited the love of Christ on a daily basis, the way they breathed. It's the way they walked. It's the way they looked at things. And that's why they were surprised. Lord, when did we do this for you? Because they had, but it was such a way of life that they weren't even aware. You know, they were driven by that godly nature and a pure motive, totally unaware and unconcerned about getting anything for their kindness. But then on the other hand, you saw the people on the left, and they also seemed surprised. And maybe even a bit disgusted, because they stood being accused of victimizing Jesus, maybe, you know. But Lord, when were you naked? When were you in prison? When, you know, you can almost see the kind of the excuses. Because they didn't treat others with that regard, love, and service that Jesus wanted of them. And if you notice that each one of those situations that here, hungry, thirsty, stranger, needing clothes, sick, in prison, none of those automatically imply that so-called evidence that we think of believers, like churchgoers. We think of, well, church attendance. We think of tithing, like you're giving, you know, and offerings. We think of church leadership. We think of praying. We think of a lot of things. But you notice Jesus didn't list any of those. He listed these. He said, but when did you help me when I was hungry? When did you help me? He said, where's your religion? Where is it, just because you do the duties or because your heart's in it? That's the difference between the goats and the sheep. One did it out of a natural flow of the abundance of Christ in their life, and the other one didn't want to recognize it because it was inconvenient. You know, for the most part here at Damascus Road, you know, this church, we may not be the richest church, not the poorest, I'm sure, but we are a church of mostly educated people, people that kind of have direction, have ambitions, goals, a bright future ahead, got food on the table, people who care about us, mostly by and large. But are we willing to be, you know, inclusive of those who don't quite fit in? That's the name, Riches and Rags. Are we willing, you know, to look around us and those that you know, sometimes I think we confine our lives to those things that are comfortable and those things that fit in, those things that are predictable. But are we willing to make room for those that don't quite fit into our schedule? You know, those, maybe they're not strategic relationships for us. You know what I'm saying? Because too often it's easy for us to go, what's in it for me? I want to know this person. You know, one of my pet peeves, and actually I watch people that do this, because you've all been treated this way too. You're talking to someone and they're not talking to you. You know what I mean? They're doing this. It's like they're looking. There's a person that I need to go talk to that's more valuable to me than you. That's what they're saying, okay? That's one of my pet peeves. And I watch it when people do that. If you ever see me do that, slap me. Someone, please. Really. Because to devalue people, because it's not good for you. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not profitable for you at that moment. That's not the heart of Jesus. Took time to see this poor old widow, to see her tears and to stop and touch her son, because he knew she needed help. It wasn't convenient. There was a crowd following him. I'm sure they were looking for bigger things. But he took time. The Bible's full of times that Jesus stopped to take time. Insignificant people that no one else cared for, Jesus was there for. Riches and rags. Jesus recognized the wealth of someone beyond their appearance or beyond what they could offer him in return. And that's the way we need to live our lives, like the guys on the right who weren't even aware that they'd been living that way. But it was so much a part of their character, Jesus said, you're really mine. You know, there used to be these bracelets that we had. Did they come here or anywhere else if you're from another country? WWJD bracelets. If you were a church kid, I remember those going around. And I think it's okay, but I always kind of made fun of them, you know. Because I just don't like gimmicks. You know what I'm saying? But if it reminds you to do something, what would Jesus do is what stood for, WWJD. What would Jesus do? To help try to remind people that, wait, I'm a Christian. I need to act like this, you know. And you know, can we look at the heart of Jesus and feel what he feels when we look at those around us, even if we don't know them or if they make us a bit uncomfortable? You know, loss comes in all sorts of packages. You know, we talk about, we got to reach the lost. Well, yeah. But loss comes in kind of, you can be rich and be lost, you know. You can be educated and be lost. You can be homeless and destitute and be lost. You can be Mr. or Mrs. Average and be lost. You know, you can even know Jesus and get lost in your own sort of religious safety, not willing to include others or especially those that make us uncomfortable. So it's not about making room for others just simply because they're beneficial. It's about making room for others because of what Christ feels for them. And God wants us to do that. You know, and the funny thing is, people like that, whatever you want to say that is, come to you at the least expected times. Have you ever noticed that? I don't know. My wife says that I'm like a magnet for those people. I don't know why, but literally I can be in a town that I'm visiting and a drunk will find me in a crowd. It's amazing. And I'm like, you know, and my first reaction, oh, brother, here we go again. This guy's going to want money. He's slobbering. He's got problems. And I got things to do. Really, that's what it is, right? You got places to go, things to do, people see. And I'm not trying to like, look at me, I'm great. But I try to take some time, at least to listen. And to share with him the one thing, like the disciple said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus. Walk. I don't have anything to give a drunk. He doesn't need my money. He's just going to go get drunker. He needs Jesus. He needs to know he's worth something. He needs to know that he's valuable. And what he has pictured himself in the bottom of a bottle is not the picture that Jesus has of him. That he's got something to look forward to, even though he thinks he doesn't. People like that need hope. I remember a guy in Amsterdam had a team, kind of like it's coming. And I'm showing him around Amsterdam, right? Got to do that, the tour guide time. So I'm showing him around because I lived there for a few years. So I'm showing him around. And here's this guy, sure enough, right on Dom Square, thousands of people. He picks me. And he's got a guitar. And I thought, well, this is interesting. And he's missing half his teeth and trying to sing with no teeth. And he's got a guitar and he's got like two or three strings on it. And he's singing a song, something. What'd he say? Les is like, I'm the three-string guitar guy. And he's singing this really, really dumb song. And so start talking to him. And you can imagine three string. Not in tune either. And I'm talking to him basically, he's telling me that he's not worth anything, to make a long story short. We start telling him that's not true at all. Jesus sees something in you don't see. And the cool thing is, he's walking with us because we're in motion. He's walking with us, and a couple blocks later, we get to pray with him. Where he's at today, what he's doing now, don't know. All I know is, he had an encounter that day with a bit of Jesus he wasn't going to have any other way. And it would have been really easy to say, get out of here, you bother me. You're an idiot, go away. You know what I mean? You get that. But when you look at these people, sometimes you have to just say to yourself, you know, that could be me. fine line between me and him. Jesus was the line that held me together. Who am I to say he's not worthy of what I receive from him already, right? All the time, stuff like that happens. I know the other day, Leslie was getting away from my notes here. But I know the other day, Leslie was, it was during Christmas time. Our family was here. We were downtown shopping. And busy street night, stores getting ready to close. But a lot of people. And, you know, we see a lot of people begging. And honestly, a lot of times, you kind of try to discern. Because if you're like me, you've been ripped off a lot by giving to people that, you know, it's kind of a scam a lot of times. But there's real needs, too. And that's the hard part. Because you have to decide what's real and what isn't. And that's very tricky, huh? If you're like me, that's why it goes through my head. But there's this woman. And her ankles were turned in. She was wearing, what kind of shoes were those? Were they even shoes?
No, they were kind of like flip-flops.
Yeah. Now it's cold out. Really old. She kind of looked kind of like a gypsy or, I don't know. I mean, but she's all humped over. I mean, I'm sure she would have been this tall, but now she's this tall. And she's just, you know, looking at people, hoping to catch their eye. Because you know how it is. You don't want to look at someone, right? You don't look at someone if it's uncomfortable. You know how it is. And you say, I'm invisible. And so, you know, and Leslie saw her, and she went by her, and Leslie put her head down. What was it that you thought that the Lord showed you? There you go.
And then the Holy Spirit said, don't look away. And so then I looked at her, and I looked at her again. And I went over and I tried to talk to her. And things came out.
You know, matter of fact, the story is a little deeper because it got on her heart for a while, and she saw this woman walking away, and she had to go find her again. And just to look at her and talk to her a little bit and not just throw money in, but you know what I mean? Invest. Money is a small investment, but a heart investment. It's what the woman needs, right? And opportunities like this happen all the time of people that we look at in their rags and God says, no, so have you done the least of these? That's me walking by. That's me with that cup. Don't turn away. Look in my eyes and see who I am. Because that's the heart of Christ. Walking down the street. You know, I can tell you that. Well, Matt knows, and Becky's sick today. They were both in my youth group back in the States. But, you know, you'd been surprised if you would have seen our old youth group. Because it was big. It got big because we were there 19 years. But, I mean, thousands came through, you know. But there were times when we had people in our youth group. My. I thought the missing link exists. I mean, Abominable Snowman Yeti, and say, you got to be related to this guy. You know, I mean, whew. And there... I mean, I remember when Matt came and his sister Megan, I thought, normal people, thank you, Lord. Normal, they can walk and talk and chew gum at the same time. And Becky, the same, when she showed up with her brothers and stuff, I'm like, oh, thank God. Normal people. Because we had people, honestly, that, man, when you look, there was just something missing. You know, I mean, I don't know how else to say it. There was this, it was one taco short of a combination plate. That's all I mean. The elevator didn't go all the way to the top floor. And, you know, we had that happen sometimes. But God cared about these people. I mean, we had people that ended up in prison because they were pedophiles. Now this is not, you know, a bring home the mom story. I had one guy that killed a guy with a knife. Ended up in prison. Jamal, I don't know. Ended up in prison. Carlos in for pedophilia. I mean, these were all people These were our normal people, right? But they all needed to hear about Jesus. Now, what they did with their life was their choice. We make choices. But they heard. They had the opportunity to hear. I remember standing at a funeral of one of the girls in our youth group, Keisha. Because when Keisha was here, I always used to call her Keisha. And she goes, "No, it's Keisha," because I knew this other girl for so long. She was actually my oldest daughter's best friend. And she had a baby out of wedlock. Okay, not a good story to begin with. But then the baby, she has it full term, but then almost full term. But she delivered the baby and then watched it die on her chest. You know, just a couple hours it lived. And I remember standing at the funeral. I had to do the funeral. That's not an easy thing to see a young woman broken like that because of a death of something that was part of her that died. I mean, you've got all kinds of people out there, and they all need the same Jesus. You know what I mean? It's all relevant. It's all necessary. All these people need the right to know that Jesus cares for them. It's rags and riches. You know, I'm not saying all these people had rosy endings, but at least they had a chance. And that's what Jesus did and still does. Still does. I read this once. It says this, and we probably have it on the screen, I think. Our salvation is not proved by our works, but is revealed by our works. You know what I mean? Our salvation is not proved by our works, because it's not works that save us. It's by grace. The Bible says that. But it's revealed by what we do. Just like the people on the right said, "Did we do that for you, Lord?" Because it was a way of life for them. You know, I've never been in the slums of India. And matter of fact, Mr. Lal in the back, Jonathan's dad, is going to be speaking here next week. And I've never been to India. I've always wanted to go. We were going to take a team there once when I was a youth pastor, but there were things that happened and we couldn't go. You know, I've never been in the slums of Calcutta or Delhi or any of those places and see its poverty, its distress. But there's a quote by Mother Teresa, and she pointed to the bitterest examples of human wretchedness. And here's what she said: "Behold Jesus Christ and all of his distressing..." Let me say that again. "Behold Jesus Christ and all of his distressing disguises." You know, I think carnival here where everyone's disguised, right? But Jesus looks at all the people in their distressing disguises. It's him clothed in the needs of humanity. It's what it is. I love that quote. It's how Jesus identified with needy humanity. Last week's power verse, John 13, 34. Does anyone know what? Tanasha, wait a minute. It's not on the screen, is it? Now it's not. Were you peeking?
Yep.
Okay. Stand up and go over there. I don't trust this guy. He's kind of shifty, you know. I saw him kind of doing his eyes going like, okay. Okay. Does anyone else know it, first off? Okay, go ahead, man.
It's from the Gospel of John.
Yeah.
Chapter 13.
Yeah.
This page is being fast. Christ is speaking to his disciples and he says, "And now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, love each other. Your love for one another is true to the world that I made."
Okay. You know, depending what version you get that from, it would be a little different. Love one another instead of each other, you know. But it's okay. The idea is you don't have to have every little dot and thing, you know, every T cap, as long as you got the meaning in here and you know what it means. That's the key. All right. That's good. So you know the one for this week, right, that we had in it was number 40 out of Matthew 25. Okay. So Now, are you looking to get something? Last week I gave away a T-shirt. Well, maybe we can come up with something. Here's the flaw. It is and always will be easier to want to do nice things for those we think deserve our attention. And I hope that when you're in here on a Sunday morning and when we're dismissed, and, you know, rather than just run for the coffee, well, that's good too. Maybe run and get someone a cup of coffee and take it to someone. That's even better. Go find someone you haven't met. Let them know they're worthwhile, you know. I remember talking to Aram over here three weeks ago, maybe. I don't know. And I said, oh, when did you start coming? And she said, in the fall. I'm like, you know, it's not a good feeling. People need to know that they're important. And that they're valued here. Hey, there's a verse I want to share. We're about done. In James. It goes like this. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes in your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes. And a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or you sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? Then you jump on down. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. So, riches and rags. This dinner movie night and family day we got coming about here in a couple weeks. It's that opportunity to reach out to people. You know, we've started these connect groups. Well, actually, they're starting on the 5th of February, I think, is the first one. That's what it says, Tuesday. Great opportunities for us to include people, to invite people, to not just hang out with the same old people, but to bring people that they might hear about Christ. That they might build relationships with someone that knows where they're going in the Lord, you know? That's what it's about. And just like the meal thing, the dinner and the movies that we're doing that night, it's not about, I mean, if you come by yourself and you, okay. But the idea is bring someone. Bring someone that maybe wouldn't come to a church service. Maybe invite that person and bring them. Recognize who they are. They don't have to have the gold and the fanciness. They just need to be breathing because that breath came from Christ. There was a guy named Levi that gave a large dinner at his home for Jesus. And everybody was there, tax men and other disreputable characters as guests at the dinner. Of course, the religious guys, the Pharisees and the scholars, they came to the disciples and they were really offended, you know. And they said, what is he doing eating and drinking with crooks and sinners? And Jesus heard it, you know. Jesus picks up on everything. He heard about it all, and he spoke up. He says, who needs a doctor, the healthy or the sick? I'm here inviting outsiders, not insiders. An invitation to a changed life, changed inside and out. It's not just outward appearance. It's the inside that counts. Father, I thank you for every person in this place. God, and I pray, Holy Spirit, you convict my heart more when I see people
that maybe aren't fun to look at, or maybe people that don't smell so great, or maybe people are normal but appear normal, but where you just feel like you don't have time for God. That I know, Father, I want my heart convicted to see what you see, to treat them as if they really are you, to value people not in the way the world does. The world does that, shopping for advantages. But Father, we're not here always for the advantaged people. We're also here for disadvantaged people. They were all created by you for your glory. God, let us be about your business in doing that and touching lives, just like the little widow. Father, you touched her life that day. Father, give us the heart to touch the lives of others around us, Lord. I thank you that you're here to touch our lives today. That you, Jesus, cared enough about everyone in this room that you already knew their name. You knew where they're going to be seated. You knew everything about them. You knew their circumstances. And Lord, today, just like I talked about those people in our youth group, some of them made bad choices, but they had the chance to choose. Many made great choices and went on to do great things and will continue to do so. But God, here today, I believe there are people here that need to make decisions for you. That maybe they've seen themselves as some of the people I've talked about. Maybe they see themselves negatively. Maybe they've seen themselves as something unworthy of your love, unworthy of anyone's love, I guess. Maybe they've never known the love and the forgiveness of a Savior who would look at a poor widow and say, "Woman, don't cry. I'm here." And Father, there are people in this room that their hearts cry, just like the widow, because they feel hopeless. They feel trapped, incapable of changing. But Jesus, you're the one that has the power to do it all. And it can be done in the twinkling of an eye if we will just ask you to forgive us and to be our Lord and Savior and choose to live for you. We want to be like those ones on your right side in that parable, Lord, that it was just an outflow of our character to want to help people, to want to accept people, to want to be the hands and feet of Jesus to all kinds of people, rich and poor, smelly and clean. Today, Father, you're reaching down into the hearts of people in this room. And there are people here today that need to make a decision to allow you to be Lord of their life. No longer churchgoers, but walking disciples of a living God, because you rest in their hearts. Before we leave today, coffee will wait for a minute. Just get the feeling there's maybe one or two, who knows, several people that you need Jesus. And Jesus is here for you, but you have to decide to make him that Lord and Savior that he wants to be, to give value to your life and to strengthen you for the walk ahead. If you want that, and if you mean business with Jesus, then why don't you just raise your hand right now and we'll pray right where you're at. Just do it quickly, though. If you hesitate, it usually isn't, that's not good. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for this day. And I thank you for the hand I saw. And you care. You care. And you want them to know today, you care for them. Jesus, you said if we would confess you with our own lips and believe with all our heart that you died and rose again, that we would be saved. Say that in Romans 10. And we know it's true, God. We know, Jesus, that you conquered death, sin, and the grave. And you provided a way, Lord, when there was none. And today, Lord, we can know that way. If you're one of those that raised your hand, why don't you pray this with me? Matter of fact, you can all join in if you want. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Bring value to my life, Lord. Come in and forgive me, Jesus. Change me. Don't let me stay the same. I choose to live for you, to serve you by serving others. Oh, Lord, thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, as we go our way, speak to our hearts. But Lord, we thank you for all the good things you've done and will continue to do. Thank you, Jesus, in your precious name.